Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, standing at a sleek 5'11", 245 pounds, the tumultuous tempest of technique, Thomas Lilly. And in the red corner, at a curvaceous 5'11", 315 pounds, the jovial juggernaut of judgment, John Cheryl Sheridan. A meeting of the masters of mastication. Turn your attention as they delve deep into all things lifting and more. This is Peak Speak.
All right. That means we're back for another episode of Peak Speak.
We are indeed.
Welcome. How are you, my friend?
Is it 2020 when this comes out? Are we in the future? Who even knows?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I reckon this one will be on the 30th. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, okay. All right. Either way, it's in the future because we're so organized. We record these episodes in bulk and then release them because we're professionals.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say we're the best podcast ever, but...
We're definitely the best Australian powerlifting podcast, so there's that.
Shots fired.
Yeah, well, you know, I was talking to Hayes the other day and he suggested we should have an Australian powerlifting podcast Olympics because I teased him and Burke about being unathletic, and the consensus was that between the four of us you would lose, and then I'd beat Burke, and Hayes reckons he'd beat me, but I just disagree completely.
What? Beat us at what?
I don't know. We hadn't quite got that far, but it was just a test of general athleticism, I think. Perhaps a multidisciplinary test of athleticism.
Yeah.
Because you're the only one that's not really an athlete. Like, you know, riding bikes and lifting weights isn't really being an athlete.
What? You go to the, like, Parliament House and climb up walls. That doesn't count.
That was the National Library. Thank you very much.
That's just general loitering. Loitering isn't a sport.
Perhaps not. Okay.
Alex and Will both play fucking rugby and basketball.
Yeah, I played lots of rugby.
Yeah, it's not a sport. It's just a bunch of grown men running around hugging each other.
Dude, you ride bikes and play classical piano. It's, you know, you're hardly Yao Ming.
Well, I got nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, how are you, my friend? What's happening in your life?
I'm tired. It's been a big weekend.
Mm. You had a couple of comps on, didn't you? A comp?
Just one. Yeah, yes. Just one. One on the weekend, my girlfriend Sarah competed and she crushed it.
Excellent.
PB'd her squat and bench and almost equal PB'd her deadlift, which is great seeing she had a long hiatus from training and this was really her first run back. Also, introduction to some new equipment, so she'd never used wraps before and was fresh to a deadlift bar as well. She wanted to give GPC a crack, so
cool.
She did really well and her client Jess had a great day as well. It was a cool little comp up there at Sim City, run by Aaron Sim. It's always fun up there. It's fucking hot.
Yeah, I saw a few posts floating around and everyone that like the first line of their post was like, it was so hot today.
Yeah, it was bad. It was muggy as, and you know, running comps in these like shed type gyms, when you put a banner up, it's just like a heat trap.
Yeah, yeah. When the banner we bought for Burley, I deliberately bought one of the mesh ones that has holes in it. So from a distance, it looks solid and you can still read the logo really nicely. But it's like it lets air through.
Yeah.
For exactly that reason.
I think I need to invest in one of those for the new place.
I'm pretty sure the place I got it from was in Queensland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you talking about like the curtain you run across to separate? Okay. Yeah, yeah. I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's like a meshy sort of material.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, when it's fucking 36 degrees and over 90% humidity, no matter what you do, it's going to be rough.
It's going to be fucking hot. Yeah.
It's a lose-lose kind of situation.
Even in like a nicely air-conditioned, you know, hotel venue or something like that, it's going to get hot because you're going to have a bunch of sweaty people and bodies. And yeah, exactly.
Mm.
It's why I had someone a while ago ask me if I was going to run a comp before. So our GPC States is in like April next year. Yeah. And they were like, oh, you're going to run one before then? I was like, well, then I'd have to run one in like February. And it's miserably hot in the gym in February. Like, yeah. I don't want to watch a comp in the middle of February because it's so hot. And so then I just don't think it's worth spending time trying to promote a comp when it's 38 degrees outside. It just, yeah. I mean, Queensland's a lot harder because it's like that 9 months of the year. But
yeah, yeah, I've stupidly got two comps on in February. So
yeah, see, Canberra's got like December to February where I just won't touch it. It's just not even worth trying. I get that one in the first week of December. We were really lucky for push pull and the novice. Like it was 21 degrees or 22 degrees. So it was great.
Mm.
But yeah, the heat, it's miserable.
Of course. Of course. What about you? You you presented at your seminar on the weekend. How'd that go?
Yeah, man. The climbing thing was really cool. I was definitely a bit nervous going into it. It just, you know, it's not that the content itself is new to me, but the framework in looking at it and describing it too and talking about its relevance in an area outside of training for general strength and performance in strength sports. So that it took me a few weeks to kind of mull over my ideas enough to present it in a way that I thought was relevant without rambling on for hours and hours, because I only really talked for about half an hour and then had people out lifting it and doing that sort of stuff. So yeah, there cool. was, most of the session itself was the practical element. So yeah, I thought it was really well. I was really happy with how my talk went. People were receptive. The other guys that talked on the so I talked on the Saturday, and a lot of the stuff they said sort of tied in nicely with what I was doing, and then a couple of the people on Sunday also sort of tied it all together. So it was a really good mix of presenters that all spoke about very similar broad concepts, but from different frameworks.
Yep.
So that was really cool. And yeah, a really good engaged group of people, and overall a really fun weekend. Like a draining weekend for sure, but
I can imagine.
But a good weekend.
You know, I saw a photo and I was thinking, you know, you're at a climbing like lifting seminar when everyone's in bare feet.
Yes.
No one was wearing shoes in that photo at your gym.
Yeah, yeah. I had actually just forced people to take their shoes off. Yeah, because and the discussion I had was about how miserable wearing climbing shoes is for your feet. And, you know, when you're not climbing, you should maybe just like take your fucking climbing shoes off, which most of them do anyway. But occasionally you see people at Blockhouse, like in the little gym section in the back corner, wearing their rental climbing shoes, doing squats and stuff. And it's always just a bit like, I don't know if that's the best option for you. Maybe just take your shoes off.
Are they similar to like Innovates, like sort of CrossFit style shoes?
The rental ones are like just a softer, flatter version of the shoes you sent me that you picked up for me. So the more beginner shoes are flatter. They're still a bit narrow. They're still meant to be quite tight. So you're still not going to be able to get a good footing from standing on flat ground trying to squat, but good for climbing.
I think it's just that thing. It's just like when lifters first buy a pair of like lifting heeled shoes and they just start wearing them all the time, like in the gym, doing everything with their shoes.
Yeah.
Like they're given, these are my lifting shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny to watch, but you know, that's all right. But yeah, I was really happy with it. Certainly feels like a bit of a weight off my shoulder because I was definitely anxious about how that whole thing was going to go, but I'm really stoked with the outcome.
Yeah, excellent. So today we'll probably do a pretty short episode. We're going to do a bit of a highlights reel of 2019, and go through some of the standout moments of the year individually, and we'll probably just do one point each at a time and just bounce back and forth.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
I think that sounds reasonable, but I think you should go first.
Okay. In no particular order, I thought we'd just go through our favorite personal coaching and lifting memories of the year, and then maybe just some standout moments from like the lifting world perspective, a few records that have been broken and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
For me, the immediate thing that that jumps out into my mind is Pro Raw and the way my team handled and performed there. That was a big weekend for us, and it was really fun. I lifted myself. Unfortunately, didn't have a crack at 900 because I hurt myself warming up on the deadlifts.
Classic Tombro 7.
Yeah, my opening deadlift would have put me well in range of my capability of hitting 900, so I'd like to give 900 a nudge raw in 2020. But the performance of my team was awesome. You know, you had Jen Smith take out third in the under 60 women. Bryony won the heavyweight women overall and also set the biggest ever raw deadlift by a female. Shit, I can't even, like, off the top of my head go through everyone's results. That we had a team of about 17 or 20.
Yeah, you had a massive team for Pro Raw.
Obviously, Dylan won it and went the first person to go 1,000-pound squat and 900-pound deadlift in the same meet, and set the biggest all-time total by a junior, which was pretty fucking cool. Goobs and Stenzel in the 95s absolutely crushed it. Yeah, the whole team, just so proud of everyone. It was amazing. Yeah, that was a big standout weekend for me. You helped me as well. You wrapped Rocky on the day. That was really helpful.
Yeah, that I was a bit out of practice and it was a bit forearm pumpy after that, but that's all right.
Yeah, unfortunately, Rocky at that comp ruptured his hamstring. He like tore it off the bone and had to get surgery to get it reattached. He's actually making a good comeback right now, so he's back under the bar and moving again, which is really exciting for him.
Fuck yeah, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the first big standout highlight for me. What's yours?
Yeah, look, I think the Pro Raw weekend's always just a fun weekend. I didn't have as big of a team. I don't think I had any powerlifters, but we had a couple of guys competing in strongman, and they did really well. But it's just a fun weekend. Like, it's one of those weekends where, like at nationals, like at those big comps, we get to hang out with people that perhaps I only get to see once a year. You know, like you and I talk at least once a week in face to face, or at least in this format. But it's always nice to actually catch up and be able to eat burgers and hang out and do that sort of stuff. So they're always just fun. I think, to be honest, they're the most enjoyable part about being involved in powerlifting is less like the competition's all fun and games, but actually it's catching up with everyone and seeing everyone and being around and watching people push their performance is always really fun. We had a pretty good team of people compete, from the Burley team compete at the ACT States, and everyone did really well. We had a few people crush some pretty big PRs and just like have really solid training cycles, like having put together a few really good training blocks, and to see that realized on comp day is always very fun. And in a similar vein, we then had a few of those people repeat performances and do better again at like Canberra Cup later in the year. So I think there's a group of lifters we've got at the gym at the moment who are like a few years into their powerlifting career and now sort of seeing the payoff in all the hard work they've done in like relearning techniques and improving things that maybe initially don't seem like they're adding a lot to your lifting, but have sort of compounded over, you know, 18 months, 2 years of training to the point where now you're seeing these big leaps up in results each time because we're actually able to push them a little bit. So that's always really cool to watch and be a part of. You know, that's the really enjoyable part about coaching is seeing people, like, you know, you and I know when we start with someone that, like, we know where they're at from a potential standpoint 2 to 3 years down the road, but it's sometimes hard to communicate that with people because the nature of people is we want it to happen quickly. And so I think it's really cool when you get to sort of not say I told you so, but see the buy-in come through because they've trusted you through the whole process and they get to a point where, yeah, actually they can see the work.
Yeah, for sure. Another big highlight for me is similar to that one. We had an APL comp, the Pro Roll qualifier kind of deal, where the winners were Pro Roll qualifiers. Just in my gym a couple of weeks ago, and the group of people from my gym that competed all fucking crushed it. They did so well. It was like Steve Wang, Bjorn, Mitch Rissman, Rochelle from online, Soraya from online, all these people that you know, I don't get to see a great deal of because these guys are kind of train, they're arriving at the gym while I'm leaving to go home. It's easy to lose sight, you know, and you'd understand this as well when you have a gym where you're not there all the time, of course, And there are people that sometimes train outside the hours that you're there, or they train every time you're with clients or doing something else, and you don't actually get to watch a lot of their training to kind of see them consistently showing up and putting in the work, and then, you know, coming to these comps and crushing PRs is always really exciting as well. So that was a big highlight for me, because those guys, you know, even though they're not training at the same time as all the other big powerlifters, because they come a little bit later, they're still, you know, a big part of the gym. You know, they're part of the heart and soul of the gym.
Yeah.
And to see those guys, you know, getting the results and crushing their PRs, guys and girls, is really fucking cool.
Yeah, man, for sure. I think that's the enjoyable part, right? Like, that's why we do what we do, because you get to watch all these people that you know, like, I've got people in the gym now that I knew 3 years ago when they started training here had the potential to be really, really strong, but knew it was going to take a bit of time. And to see that all sort of come to fruition is a really satisfying thing, I think.
Yeah. The hard thing as well is that, and I don't want this to come across as pompous or arrogant, but people know that who I've coached in the past and who I coach right now and the kind of caliber of people that I've coached. And I feel like some people think that, it's only exciting for me to coach those people or to celebrate in big numbers, but it's not. It's it's fucking awesome to see anyone. If you start with a 90-kilo bench and you hit your first 100, I'm fucking stoked about that. You know?
Yeah, man.
It never gets old, ever.
No, and that's the thing that, like, I say this to people. I said it to people. The rock climbers on the weekend. Like, what is heavy is relevant for you and you only, and I'm just as stoked for the person who's gone from a 30-kilo bench to a 32-kilo bench, because that number is smaller than going from 150 to 170 doesn't mean that it's any less valuable in terms of the progress you've made and the work you've put in. Like, it doesn't diminish your hard work because the number's smaller, because it's still your hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as exciting regardless, I think.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, the number on the bar, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Big numbers, we're desensitized to them.
Exactly.
And powerlifting, just constantly exposed to big numbers. So it's not that interesting anymore. Cool. But of the attributes of, like, breaking a PR and doing really well for yourself. That's what we love. Seeing your face when you walk off the platform and you're just beaming because you added 5 kilos to your deadlift, even if it's gone from 150 to 155. Doesn't matter. It's fucking cool.
Exactly, man. I think that's the really cool bit that I enjoy, is it doesn't matter at all what that weight is. It's all just about the fact that you've done something that perhaps you didn't think was possible, or something that you've been working towards for a long time, to see that come to fruition and see the light in your eyes as you turn off the platform and walk away. That's the really rewarding part, I think.
For sure. It's my biggest pet peeve when people say to me, and you'd get this all the time as well, I'm just not strong enough to join your gym, or I'm just not strong enough. I need to work a little bit harder before I can have the privilege of being coached by you. I'm like, you're looking at it fucking backwards.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
You know, we are the kind of people that you come to so you can get stronger and so you can get stronger faster. I want you now. I don't want you later.
Yeah, yeah, because later you'll have developed a ton of habits that we'll have to work on. You know, the sooner you get on board the train, the easier it is to be a part of it.
Yeah. I think it's your turn.
Yeah. Look, the sort of most recent comp that sort of sticks out in my mind, we had a really good novice comp in amongst our push-pull stuff. A couple of weeks ago, we had like 13 or 14 people, I think, compete from the gym, and all of them did really well. Some of them in their first comp, some of them in not their first comp, but still did really well. But to look back at the Spring Nationals that weekend, where we took Team Old Man Burley down, Mike and Lex. Mike, I talked about last time we talked, and having a really good comp result, despite an interrupted prep because he went on holidays. But Lex was the guy who was doing his first comp under my coaching. He's 62 years old and competes in the 67.5 kilo class. He's a running coach and like an ex-sprinter who's been powerlifting for a little while and has his eyes set on some big goals for 2020. And this was sort of our first sort of comp, just see where he's at. We learned some things with this training cycle and got a better idea of where we're going for next year. But just his performance. He went 9 for 9, I think. Hit some like a lifetime BBs. He benched 100 for the first time. He pulled 200, and all with relative ease. So he had an excellent day and just performed it all really perfectly. There's something really satisfying about like coaching another coach, and you know, he's a coach in an industry or like in an area that's very different to powerlifting, but there's a lot of crossover. And so being able to talk to him about like what my thinking is behind different things, and we tried a few different things because he's a bit older and we sort of know that he can't handle certain things, so just yeah, seeing that all come to fruition on comp day was really, really exciting. I think we've set him up for a really big 2020. I think he'll certainly break some more world records in his weight class and in his age group. And he had an excellent performance, and it was a really satisfying thing to be a part of.
Mm.
And it's cool to see, you know, these older people who I tease regularly about being old, but only because I know they find it as funny as I do. But they're still some of the hardest working dudes we've got, you know. And I think it's cool seeing, like, you know, anyone can make an 18-year-old stronger. I think it takes a bit more nuance, not just from a coaching perspective, but from the athlete themselves and understanding what they're good at and what they're not good at and how to prioritize things. I think that is a much more, yeah, nuanced and complicated discussion to have. And so it makes it for a more entertaining process from a coaching standpoint. I think you have to be a bit more flexible because you have to be able to account for these sort of things.
For sure.
So it makes it really interesting from my standpoint.
Yeah. 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 It's funny. Like, I've got a good contrast of old dudes in the gym. I've got Lee Skinner, who's my para guy that did the Commonwealth Games. I've got Steve. Lee's been lifting for years and years and years. And
yeah.
He's competing for over, you know, 10 years. I've got Steve Hampton, who's just...
like 85, isn't he?
Nice. He's just turned 51. He's fucking jacked.
He's one of the most jacked old dudes I've ever seen.
He's brand new to lifting. Like, he's only been lifting for 4 or 5 years, as in powerlifting. And at first it was bench only. So he's a noob to the sport. So the nuance in the training is kind of twofold. It's like dealing with the fact that he's aging and that, you know, he's... you know, recovery is not quite there and all that sort of stuff, but also layer that on with the fact that he's still getting noob gains.
Exactly.
And still brand new and everything's exciting to him. It's a really interesting thing. Then I've got another guy, Kevin Boatwood, who's been doing powerlifting since like before we were born kind of thing. And he's a fucking toughest dude ever. He's such a tough old guy. He's such a legend. But yeah, we give them heaps about being old. Like, hey, you need us to send a text for you, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
hold
yeah.
up your phone from the other side of the gym and be like, oh, we can read the text from here.
Yeah. Mike has for a long time been known as old man. Whenever I use it in text, it's like capital O, capital M. Like, it's a moniker, not just a reference point. And he initially used to whinge about it, but you know, like all good bullying, he got over it.
like all good bullying.
It's with nothing but love and admiration that I use that term, and he's really particular about who uses it. Like some people he's not had a go at, but just maybe pointed out that they haven't earned the right in his eyes to use that as a term. But yeah, it's only with love that we tease them, because fuck man, if I'm as half as badass as either of those dudes are when I'm that age, I'll be pretty stoked.
Mm. Yeah.
So what about outside of lifting? What's
I'm
been
still going?
Oh, you're still going, righto. Fuck. All right. Yeah, that's fine. Continue.
The next one I was going to say would be Jen Smith at Boss of Bosses in the States.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. She killed it.
Yeah. She, with that total 540, I believe it was, she became number one 60 kilo female in the country and also number 4 in the world, which is pretty fucking cool. So she
man, that's wild.
That. It was also Sarah's first time to America, so we got to chill out and spend a week traveling around. So that was really cool too.
Yeah, nice.
Us two and Dave and Jen all went out to super training and had a cool session out there. And then Dave and Jen got up at like 2 a.m. to go meet Mark there at 4 a.m. to have a training session there. So they had a blast doing that.
That's cool.
So yeah, that was another highlight.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
Anyway, sorry. What's next?
No, that's fine. I don't know that I have any other lifting highlights that stand out.
There's a lot. Like, I feel like this whole year's been kind of exciting, so.
Man, and I feel like we could have had that same discussion every year for the last 5 years, you know? Yeah. Like, it has never actually slowed down, and perhaps we hit a peak craziness when we had like a 5-6 day GPC nationals and it was like 300 lifters and it was just wild.
Yeah.
But in terms of the quality of lifting and just the number of standout lifters across the board, it's been continuing to grow and grow exponentially, which is super exciting. And I think we mentioned that in the last episode that we talked about, which probably maybe won't be the last episode that people have listened to. Anyway, this is where this gets confusing. But we talked about the fact that, you know, the next few years are pretty exciting from a powerlifting standpoint. So,
for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a conversation we could have at this point every year and it'd sound very similar.
Yeah. Did you see the new bench all-time world record?
Yeah, Julius
Maddox came back.
Ridiculous.
It's really cool that he came back and did it super clean and kind of shut up all the haters.
And quite like with quite a quick turnaround as well. I think that was really cool. Despite being desensitized to heavyweights and not really enjoying bench press in general, it's still so fucking crazy to think that he's got like 300 plus in his hands and just casually benching it is, wild.
Yeah. 7 kilos off my biggest ever raw squat. So I need to push that number up so I can still say I squat more than the biggest bench
in the world. Yeah, yeah. Fuck, man. It's crazy. Mm. Yeah. So, what about outside of lifting?
You can go first. It's your turn.
Man, fucking Tool's album came out. I don't know. Like, you know, being a parent's cool. Having a loving relationship is cool. But fucking Tool released their first album in 13 years. I've basically not stopped listening to that since it came out. It hasn't left the CD drive in my car since. I find it hard to top that from a personal standpoint because it was such a cool thing that I'd built up a lot in my head with expectation, especially after the first song got dropped. And yeah, it was crazy. And it was just as good as I'd hoped. And it gets better every time I play it. And now I've got tickets to see them a ludicrous amount of times in a short period when they come to Australia next year. And I'm stoked about that too.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Without getting too, soppy or emotional or whatever.
Thomas is turning off and we're getting emotional Thomas.
I feel like I've had a lot of personal growth this year. Like, I feel like I've really grown up a lot and learnt a lot about myself and about connecting with people and about communication and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This year is the first year in my life that I've started reading, and I haven't started actually reading. I just listen to audiobooks.
Cheats reading, it's the best.
Yeah, man, with ADHD, reading is really quite tough. Like, it has to be the perfect conditions for it, and it's really hard to find the perfect conditions at the times that I can actually dedicate towards doing it. So,
yeah.
Being stuck in a car for an hour and a half all day, every day is helpful for going through a bunch of that sort of stuff. So I feel like I've learned a lot in terms of general knowledge and in terms of personal stuff as well. So that's been a really big highlight for me because I think it's helped me a lot in business and in life in general.
Yeah, for sure. I have very similar feelings that I suspect at like. I suspect part of this is like we're both of a similar age where you kind of get to a point and, you know, we're both a little bit more established in our businesses. Like and I've said this several times and will continue to say it. I feel like this year I've like finished my business apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And I kind of know enough about what I'm doing to like make 2020 be kind of exciting for the first year. First time I feel like I've actually got a plan about how I want to do things in a way that we'll see us be further down the growth track than, this time next year. So it's a really cool feeling to kind of finally feel like I maybe know what I'm doing. But even then, things pop up where I'm like, I still don't know what I'm doing. But I think I'm becoming more comfortable with that, which is cool. Yeah. And I think a lot of that's, yeah, being a bit more mature. Certainly being a parent has thrown a fucking spanner in those works for sure.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty crazily rewarding experience unto itself. So,
yeah.
I feel very much the same, man.
Yeah. And I must admit, I'm not trying to force this back onto lifting. But I feel like the kind of personal and self-growth that I've had this year has actually helped my lifting, my attitude towards lifting a lot. Which, like you say, is probably, you know, an age thing in terms of just this time period in life. But also, it just has conveniently coincided with a time period in my lifting life as well.
Yeah, you know? Also like a time period where you're not as hurt as you have been in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm certain you could make... And perhaps years down the road, we'll have a better understanding of this, but I'm certain you could correlate a lot of the injury stuff with different, you know, psychological barriers and or different periods in time where perhaps things weren't as settled as they could be. And those injuries are potentially manifested as part of that. I think there's definitely some discussion around that that's valid.
Yeah. I mean, without getting too in-depth on it, all of that sort of external life stress definitely can impede psychology and recovery, and a lot of little factors that can potentially add up and contribute towards that sort of process.
Yeah, man. I've certainly been enjoying watching your lifting, and I look forward to seeing you actually back on the platform healthy and ready to crush some big numbers.
Did you see the comp? Oh, you did. You commented on it. The comp from the weekend, Johnny B-Bad in Brisbane ran a capo deadlift comp, and I got roped into jumping in after deadlifting the night before. They squeezed me into my suit and threw me on the platform, and I had a blast up there with the epic boys.
Yeah, it looked like a rave where someone was like, "We should have a rave in this gym, and like maybe we'll do some deadlifts at the same time."
It's funny, hey, because. Like, if I had seen that, you know, overseas, online, I would have been like, what the fuck is this? This is not powerlifting. But I loved every second of it. It was so fun. It was so cool. And the lights, it was dark. They had a smoke machine. The lights are all in your face while you're setting up. But you just kind of ignore it and fucking get lost in the atmosphere of it all. It was really cool.
I think those sort of things always look a bit more tacky on video than they are in real life.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's one of those things where that sort of scenario seems really just wankerish on video. But when you're living it and you're in it, it's a different story.
Yeah, it was kind of like the perfect personification of Johnny B-Bad. It was just kind of like loud and bright and bubbly and extreme.
Excellent.
And awesome.
Yeah, cool.
So I guess another... external to lifting thing is a big announcement that I can make now, because by the time this comes out, we should have announced it online. If not, I'm in big trouble. No, not necessarily, but I'm opening another gym.
You're a crazy, crazy man, my friend.
I know. Zero number two is coming to the south side of Brisbane, Mount Gravatt to be exact. So if you're listening to this and you're in Brisbane, come and check it out. We open on February the 1st.
Yeah, that's super exciting, but also, I can only imagine, incredibly nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's a little bit stressful, but I'm confident it's going to work. So I've got a guy, James Hendry. He's full-time manager now at Ground Zero. So he's there every day, and he is killing it in that role.
Awesome, man. That's great.
And then I've got someone helping me out with the new gym, Dan Carpenter, and his partner Rochelle Howe from Melbourne. They're moving up, and they're going to be running that gym full time, and I'll be floating between the two doing the coaching thing.
That's cool, man.
The new gym is already decked out with all the sort of commercial machines you could hope for. We've also got two AMFX monos. Three AMFX Dominator benches, a lot of Alico stuff, just bars and plates and combos coming. It's going to be pretty similar to the setup we've got down the coast, and yeah, it's going to be a really cool gym.
Fuck yeah, man. That's really exciting. Obviously, I've known about this for a little while, and it's been cool watching you go through this process, and I really look forward to seeing it come to fruition again.
been cool watching me stress and freak out.
Yeah, a little bit. what it's made me realize is I have no fucking desire to open a second gym. Because actually what I've seen is a lot of you complaining about opening a second gym.
Yeah. I haven't stressed or freaked out. I just get really annoyed really easily the older I get. So
yes, you're becoming less and less tolerant.
Yeah, but I'm also annoyingly calm and robotic still.
Yes.
Even in my own old age. So I'll freak out when it opens and it's making no money. Then I can start wigging out.
Yeah, yeah, that's the trick. Just delay that consequence and you'll be sweet, man. But no, it's really exciting, dude. I'm stoked for you and I look forward to seeing it crush it just like the other one has.
Thanks, man.
And yeah, I'm certainly not in a hurry to open Burly version 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another big highlight, and I know I'm doing two in a row, but another big highlight had just been this podcast, man. This podcast has been sick. I would have never imagined that us talking shit would attract.
Yeah, you know, me neither.
We must have probably tipped over 60,000 views downloads now.
Yeah, let me look it up while we talk. But
we were 59 last week.
Yeah, dude. Like when we first talked about this, I was really keen on it. 59.2 as of right now. So surely it'll tick over 60 by the time we get this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we first talked about this, I was really keen on it. I'd listened to a lot of podcasts anyway. I like talking and I like talking to you. But to think that, would it be like 2.5 years since we first recorded that episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like March 2017. Yeah. So to think that we recorded like 4 episodes and then did nothing with them for like 6 months, a year, and then released them, and like now we're 60,000 downloads down the road, and we've overtaken Weekly Weights as the way better Australian powerlifting podcast.
Is it overtaking if you're always ahead?
That's a very good question, Thomas. Increased our lead. But yeah, man, it's been great. I learn a lot every time we talk, and I thoroughly enjoy the fact that we get to talk shit once a week at least and call it work.
For sure, man. Despite the fact that you're always interrupting me and speaking over me, I actually do love you a lot. So
someone's got to keep you in line.
So we've done 55 episodes. That's really cool. This will be 57 because we've already got one in the bank.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And thank you to everyone who's been listening. Like, it's been cool to see everyone put up their like Spotify top whatever thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's been really cool.
And seeing like you have spent X amount of minutes listening to Peak Speak, that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, also a bit weird that people spend that many minutes listening to us talk shit. I still find it odd. I've had a few people in the gym who are sort of good friends of mine as well say like, yeah, I started listening to your podcast and then I was like, it's a bit weird having your voice in my ears when it's not actually you talking to me and I can't do it. I'm like, all right, cool. That's fine. As long as you keep downloading it, I don't care.
The ones I always get is like people making reference to something I've said in an episode. Yeah. Like, did I say that? And they'll be like, no, John said that. I was like, I was going to say that didn't sound like me. But then they'll say something and they'll be like, did I say that? That sounds like something I'd say. And they'll be like, yeah, that was in this episode. I was like, oh, was it?
Man, the amount of times people are like, oh, like, I really like this bit. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, Thomas and I had that discussion 3 weeks ago and I've forgotten it completely. But yeah, no, it's cool, man. And just meeting people across the country who are listening to it. Yeah, I think it's easy to forget sometimes that people actually listen to these conversations because I have so much fun just doing it. So It's been really cool, man. I'm excited for more episodes and perhaps some cool guests in 2020.
Yeah, yeah. Hit us up with what you want to hear us talk about and what kind of guests you want us to get on board, and we'll do our best to make it happen.
Sweet. I think that's a nice way to round out our 2019 highlights, don't you?
Yeah, man. I'm stoked. That's awesome.
Excellent. All right.
Thank you, people.
Let's fucking kick some ass in 2020.
Sounds good.
And yeah, we'll see you all then.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everyone if this is timing in with that. If not, well,
fuck yeah.
Wow. Jesus. Merry Christmas anyway.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas of 2020. There you go.
There you go. All right. See you.